I'm going to start from down here because I couldn't begin to... I just don't feel right about doing a message when I haven't seen you or spoken to you in a long time. You know, it's been 10 years, and a lot's happened for you and with you and for us too. And so I just wanted to make a few sort of remarks to that effect. I'm a little rounder, a little less here, a little grayer and whiter, but you know, I'm amazed at how all of you, I don't know what the secret is. Is there something you're drinking or eating or whatever? You don't look any different, you know? Huh?
It's my soup.
Soup, okay. Hey, I noticed you're doing soup for Sunday, you know? I'll take credit for starting that, because I did. but, you know, I see things like that, and it always makes me feel, well, it just makes me feel like I belong somewhere. Because I have to tell you that one of the hardest things on the mission field is loneliness. Now, you can say, well, you've been there 10 years. Well, yeah, I don't feel like I did 10 years, you know, now that I did 10 years ago. But when you first go, you're all alone. There is nothing or nobody other than Deborah and myself when we went. You don't speak the language, at least not very well. So you're treated like a baby. I can go on and on, and believe me, if you get me started on France, I won't shut up for days. But I just want to say, you know, we miss you. I know you don't really understand that, but when you're there, you have a lot of time sometimes to play back through your mind things that mean something to you. So if I started doing this, it would take me till tomorrow if I started picking on each one of you about I remember this or that or whatever, so I won't do that. But there is one, well, actually two, because Pat is here. But there's one person that I do want to say something about, and that's Bob Meek. Bob, I can't remember his emails or what, but he was going to bring a group of kids over. And they were going on this trip, you know, in Paris, and so he needed some help with a few things, which I helped him out with that. And then he says, you know, in his email, because that's right, he didn't say it. If he'd have said it, I would have kicked him. But he says, you know, we're going to go to Versailles, and I need some help with doing that. Could you help me with that? So I told him yes, and then when I got to the hotel, I said, Bob, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to help you, but the minute you say Versailles, I'm out of here. So, but it was wonderful to see, you know, some of you that I could share some of that with. I mean, oh, if I could, I'd put you in my pocket and I'd take you with me. Because it's an incredible place, it's an incredible country, and there is so much there that's so rich. And I want to share some of that with you today. But there's one more thing I'm going to say, or a couple more, and then we'll get to that. And I've checked. I'm okay. When Bob and Pat came, and we took them in the car, and we rode them around the Arc de Triomphe. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but look it up, okay? Let me explain. The Arc de Triomphe is this big monument that it sits right at the head of the Champs-Élysées. It's where Napoleon built this thing so that he could honor all of his victories. He could march in triumphant, you know, from all of his victories. It's huge. I mean, it's just incredible how I can't describe the size. You've got to look at it to know what I mean. But anyway, around this is this huge traffic circle. That's what you would call it. There are no lines painted in it because if they painted lines in it, it wouldn't work. Well, it's probably, I don't know, maybe 12, 15 lanes wide. It's just really huge. And they call it the Étoile, which means the star, the place of the star, because the roads coming into it, if you're overhead looking at it, it forms a star. So the Étoile, here, when you come into it, you have to know one rule. And the rule is that the person entering from the right, to your right, has the right of way. So as you enter in, like we were with Bob and Pat, we know, because we live there, we have the right of way. And this is like at a pretty, there was a lot of traffic, as I recall. It was pretty messy. And so we go in, and we're going in this mess of cars, you know, and Bob and Pat are screaming. Ah! You know, it's just like, what are we doing, you know? And I'll never forget that. But that was a great time, too. Now, with that all being said, I want to say that Deborah sends her love and her regrets that she can't be here. Her mother is in her final days, maybe even hours, and so she really needed to be there. Please pray for Deborah and her stepfather, Frank, as they are trying to take care of her mother at home. It's become too much now. And now is that point of, is she going to last another day? Is it really, is it pointless to move her to somewhere or not? So it's a tough time. It's a tough time. And briefly, Deborah and I have been back in the States for a while now. We came because of our parents. My dad's not doing well, as you've heard, as Wally prayed about or mentioned, and then Deborah's mom. And you know, we've been there 10 years, and we've been praying about this, and we sense that maybe God's saying it's time to come home, that our family needs us. So that being said, we went on leave of absence because we ran out of stateside time recently. And so I was looking for work, and I saw Miss Ruth yesterday at Home Depot because I'm working part-time there right now while I continue to look for other things. So if you happen to come to the St. Matthew's store over at Breckenridge, look in the garden area. That's where I am. I don't know whether you'll see me or not because I don't get to work very much, but I'm trying to do that where we can have a little money coming in. And I wanted to show you just a few pictures. I forgot to get one of Josh and Christy. Josh is married to Christy. They've been married for 4 years, maybe almost five now, and they don't have any children yet. But I am going to show you a few pictures so you can, you know, this is easier than me showing you all, like, here's my grandkids. So this, and I don't know how well you can see because of the light level, but on the left is Isaac. Isaac was born in Madrid. We were there for that one. And then on the right, Isaac will be eight in a week. Caleb is on the right. He just had a birthday. He's five. And then the one in the center is Abigail. You'll see her again. She'll be three in July. Let's go to the next one, Chandler. This is last Sunday. Kirsten has Elizabeth. Elizabeth will be one in the end of June. Elizabeth has this helmet on. I know you're going to ask this question, so I'll just tell you. She was having a problem with her head. They were concerned about the bones not coming together right, and there was some danger in that. So she's wearing this helmet for like a few months, and then that's it. I wish you could see her. She's cute. Well, she's cute anyway, but she's cute as a button. And that dress is it's okay. The dress she had on is a dress that Kirsten had when she was a baby. So, and Deborah fixed it up. So, and this is Deborah with Abigail. So, just so you could see Deborah. And Clay's not in here, but that's all right. Clay's a great guy. Some of you know this, so just to get you straight. Yes, he coached Tim Henderson. When Tim was a senior at Cal, was Clay's first year at Cal as head coach. Now, Clay's now at J-Town head coach at J-Town. So it's been real good. They're doing pretty good. So anyway, now, I haven't been able to ever talk to you about France, but I am today, and not like my IMB talk, okay? I can put that thing on and go, and I like doing it. So this has been the hardest message I've ever had to prepare for because I'm so used to that and how I do that now that it's like, this feels too restrictive, you know. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you on a little trip to France, and you'll see why in just a minute. Well, it's a little hard to see, but Chandler has that. Maybe you can watch it sometime when it's a little darker and you can see everything. But I got to tell you, it's really tough to watch about 10 years of your life flash by in about 5 minutes. And there's a story behind every picture up there. So it means a lot to me. It means a lot to be able to share that with you, and maybe one day we'll just come and do that so you can at least hear about the way that was. But, so, why take you to France? Well, because I'm going to use the French version of our scripture this morning. Now, I'm not going to ask you to know the French, okay? I can see, like, what? what I mean by that is I'm going to use the French. I'm going to translate that into English. And I want to do that because, well, when I was learning Greek in seminary and Hebrew, the professors would say, now, you know, the English language is just insufficient. That there are many more words in Greek that to help you with describing things. For example, you know this passage, and I bet you've heard somebody preach this, I bet 300 times. The passage where Jesus is telling Peter to feed my sheep, if you know, go and do it. If you love me, go and do it, right? And he says it three times, and the pastor or preacher always says, the first word's this, and the second word's this, and the third word's this. And they all mean love in the English language, but they're more specific than that. But one of the things I found out, man, I mean, I understood when they said that, but it didn't make a lot of sense until I had to learn another language. And then you realize, boy, there's a lot more words that we can use here. And it's hard to figure that out. So anyway, that's why I'm going to do that. Now I'm going to get Chandler to put something up here for you today. And kind of let you get used to looking at this. Now on the left side is the New American Standard Version of our path. It's Colossians 4, 2 through 6. And you know, it's really funny. I gotta stop and tell you this. I felt sort of weird about using this because I rarely do anymore. I'm doing everything electronically. I pull my phone out. So this is pretty weird. And I probably won't look at it a whole lot. It just held everything, you know. But here's where we're going to go. It's Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Now, you've been doing a series of messages going through the book of Colossians. And all of those are incredibly, incredibly important. And I'm sure you've had some great... Matter of fact, I've listened to all of them but the last one. Last week. So they've been great. Now on the left side, you got New American Standard, you got NIV in the middle, and you got the French. This is the Louis II 21 version, and it's like the ESV, the English Standard. What is that, English Standard Version? I don't know. I haven't got one. So, but anyway, I'm going to use that. It's really similar. The funny thing is they have Louis II, which is like King James Version, and then they've got other ones too, just like we do. But this is the most recent one, and it's pretty, there's not a lot of differences. I compared them so that I could figure out whether this was a good one to use. So I want to do that, but like I was saying, you've had a lot of messages, and I want to try and help you sense the context of this one, because Paul is, this is the close. Now, he's gonna go on after this part, and I guess you'll have another message on the last one. I'm not sure what Brother Ben's got figured out there. But this is the last thing. You see up there above the French? He's got further instructions above the NIV. French says, last instructions. And the reason it says that is because this is what he's telling right before he says the love you, Paul, or sincerely yours, or whatever, okay? Because that after this part is a long extended sincerely yours in Christ, Paul. So this is it. Now think about this with me. When you are we don't write letters much anymore, but we write emails like crazy. So we don't really, maybe we're not quite as good at this anymore because we can write another email 5 seconds later if we forgot. But it used to be that when you wrote a letter to somebody, you know, you made sure you got in there what you needed to get in it. Now you put yourself in Paul's shoes. He's writing from jail. He doesn't know if he'll ever write another letter to these people. He doesn't know if he'll ever see them again. He doesn't know if he'll live tomorrow. So what do you do? And I know this, and you do too. But when I left my mother-in-law the other day, I said, I love you. She said, I love you too. Keith. She made it a point to say my name. It's the last thing. This is what this is. And there is power in the last thing that he's going to say. Okay? Now, you got the context. But there's one other thing I got to say, and then I'm sorry. This is the most long extended introduction I think I've ever done in my life. But there's so much here, and I haven't been a part of those messages. So, and there, you know, and I've listened to them, but I don't have the same sense that you probably do. But the thing is, Paul is writing this letter to who? The Colossians. But that's where we're wrong. Well, no, we're not wrong. We're just not totally right. He's writing it to the Colossians. But why is it in the Scripture? It's because he's writing it to me and to you now. It's for today. And this power in these final instructions is for us. And I think there's so much more, because this is one thing I've learned too about being in France, by being in France. We in the American church, and I'm saying me too, I'm not talking just about you, okay? Matter of fact, you might be better at it than I am. But we in the American church read all of this and hear all of this like it was for somebody else. Oh, we know it, and we trust it, and we want to think, yeah, that's good stuff, but we don't really apply it to ourselves. So if you don't do anything else today, please hear this as a message, the message that God wants you to hear today. And if you can do that, that'll be great. Because you know what? I love when, used to, when I, even here in other places, when you're preaching and you know, everybody's walking out, oh, that was a great message, Pastor. You really got them today. Or you really spoke to so-and-so today. I think what we always do is we listen for an excuse or reason not to apply it to ourselves. So really, please, get the sense of that and apply that to yourselves today. Now, let's get going. I'm sorry I took so long to do all of that. Okay, the first phrase here, this is my translation of the French. And, you know, if you know French, help me out here, but... the first sentence up there is persevere in prayer, keeping vigilant in an attitude of gratefulness. That's what that says. Now compare that to what it says. We'll just use the NIV since they're side by side. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Nothing wrong with that. But do you see the difference? Do you see the power in the word persevere versus devote? Devote's a good word, but it just lacks something. When we start talking about persevere, we're talking about something totally different. It means don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. You know, it reminds me of last night, basketball game. I was getting texts from my daughter, oh, we don't look good, we're going to lose, da da da. And it's like, don't give up. And those guys didn't give up. You know, you got to say one thing. I know there's a lot of UK fans in here, too. I used to not be either. But now that I got a wife that graduated from U of L and a daughter that did whatever at U of L and a son-in-law with a master's at U of L and a whatever at U of L. So it's kind of my team now. But you got to give them this. They are a ragtag bunch of guys that don't give up. So perseverance is a key word here. And I think we just need to remember that. Now, the keeping vigilant part, perseverance in prayer, keeping vigilant in an attitude. Vigilant just says pretty much the same thing. Once again, don't stop. Be committed. Kind of reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Real tough memory verse for you. Pray without ceasing. You know, this is the interesting part about doing a different language, is you begin to see, wow, Paul said that, or whoever, whichever writer it is, because, you know, I don't want to elevate Paul, he's no different than the rest of them. They said that over here, or he said it over here, or Jesus said that. It's just like, whoa, it's really all one thing, as Deborah used to say, all one thing. So pray without ceasing. Now, when do you pray like that? That's right, Davey. Thank you for being that way. I have to say it too. I don't do it either. And I've been in a place, you know, I hate when people elevate missionaries. Because it's not that sometimes they don't deserve it, but for the most part, they're just like you. I am no different than you. God called me to go over there. God called you to be where you are. God called you to serve where you serve. And when I say serve, I'm not talking about serving in some capacity in this church. I'm talking about serve at your job. Okay? Vocationally. You know the word call comes from voca, vocation. So anyway, the point being that I have to ask myself, have I ever really done that? Now, I've had times, and you have too. Like right now with my mother-in-law. Or right now because I don't have a job. Well, yeah, Home Depot, but that's not the job I want. And you know, this is the first time until I got that little job at Home Depot. This is the first time since I was 16 years old that I haven't had a job. You want to be humbled? And I'm, you know, here again, I hate when I do this because I am not trying to say I'm something special here. I'm just trying to give you a sense of I understand what he's saying. Pray without ceasing. You know, the first thing on my lips when I wake up in the morning is, oh God, today, please. Last thing at night, oh God, today, please. And I have realized how selfish I am. That's just being honest. So, persevere. And when do you pray like that? I'm not going to get you to answer it to me, but you know. Now, there is power in prayer, and God wants you to have it. He didn't tell us this stuff just so we could say, wow, that's really great, or man, I wish I could do that. God is all about life and life abundant. Jesus came and said, what did he say? I came to bring life, and so that you might have life, and life abundantly. So remember that. There is power in prayer. Now, I see something in this final part of this phrase that I haven't seen before when I was doing this. It says an attitude of gratefulness. An attitude of gratefulness indicates something to me. It indicates expectation, anticipation. An attitude of gratefulness. Grateful is something you are after the fact, isn't it? You know, I'm grateful that God allowed us to be in the United States right now. But I wasn't grateful for that before I got here. I was hoping he'd work it out. But an attitude of gratefulness indicates to me that we are to pray as if we already have it. I'm thankful because I know God hears me. I know God answers me. Now, I'm not talking. Now, hear me clearly here. I don't believe in a vending machine God. Never have, never will. I don't believe that if I do this, he'll do that. Funny thing is, Josh and Christy, Josh is married to Christy. They shared some music with us, and we got interested in this group. It's called the Punch Brothers. You may have heard of them. They were here in Louisville in February and had a concert. We like them. They're really good. On one of their discs, there's a song that's about, it's a prayer. And it says, Father, 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 you know, basically, and I'll give you the gist of it. He's saying, you know, I know you hadn't heard from me in a long time, maybe never, but I need some help. There's this girl I like. And if you would just tell her it's your will for us to be together, I'd be the happiest backslider in the world. You see what I'm saying? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you are crying out and your heart's crying out, those kind of prayers, you need to be grateful, thankful in advance that God's going to answer those things. Okay, I'm way off. Don't let me scare you too much. All right, second phrase. I can't read that to you. Wouldn't know what I was saying. The second phrase is pray at the same time for us that God opens a door for a word so that I can announce the mystery of the anointed one. And the reason I say that instead of translating it Christ is because Christ is a title. And a lot of times we say Jesus Christ, like I say, you know, Betty Jeffries, for example, because it's his last name. No, it's his title, the anointed one from heaven, you know. So basically it's saying here that pray at the same time for us that God opens a door for a word. It could be a word, could be the word of God, as you say, but it's a word, literally, that's what it's saying. A word so that I can announce the mystery of the anointed one, for which cause I am imprisoned, and that I can do it knowing the fashion in which I must speak of it. Now that's not a lot different than the English, and you can glance up and look at that. But Paul is, he's given us an example here. He's given us something we can do. He's asking us to pray for him. He's asking us that pray for him so that, my way of saying it, he's saying pray for me so that when I get an opportunity to say something, I'll say the right thing. Well, he's setting an example for us. He's saying, don't you realize this? If he's saying, I need your prayers, how much more do we need them? Of course, he's no different than us either. Paul's a guy, flesh and blood, just trying to do the best thing he knows how to do every day. So he's telling us, we need to pray for one another. I need your prayers so that if this happens, that I can do it. Now, this is a specific prayer so that we can pray for one another that God will open doors for us to have opportunities to share. And not only that, that God will help us to know what to say and how to say it. This happens when you least expect it. Almost always. God has an incredible sense of humor. Because he puts you in a situation and you go, ooh, I think maybe I should be thinking about or saying a prayer right now. Lord, what should I be saying here? Well, sort of reminds me of 2 Timothy 4:2, back to how things are here and there. 2 Timothy 4:2, it's a longer verse, but the essence of what I want to communicate to you is be prepared in season and out of season. Always be prepared. So, and you can do this in power when others are praying for you. Had something happen last year that relates to this. You saw in the video, and I don't know how well you could see it. If you could see it at all, you probably got 300 questions. What was that? Or why were you, you know. One of the things I do is I coach baseball. And now I'll pat myself on the back. Now I'm a certified licensed umpire at the international level so that I can do that. It's a little different than the states. The international rules are just slightly different. But anyway, last year, the same time, because on Saturday night when U of L played UK in the Final Four, we're 6 hours ahead of you, so by the way, we had this channel called ESPN America, and you could get it with cable. It cost me €5 or €6 extra a month to get it, and I paid for it, man. So I would get to see some things, not everything, because, you know, there's ESPN, ESPNU, ESPN 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, and then there's all these other things, you know. So you didn't get to see everything, but you got to see some things. Now, important things like that you get to see. But, you know, when you guys were watching that game last year at probably, I forget, it was maybe at night for you, because it was like 3 o'clock in the morning for me, okay, that day, we had baseball, every Saturday, baseball, 2 games. I'm either umpiring or I'm helping coach or whatever. We had a little pizza party for the guys and their parents after the game. We went to this pizza place, and the parents are all, you know, it's typical. Kids are over here, parents are all around the table, you know. So we're around this huge table, round table, it was about 10 or 12 of us. And the craziest thing, somebody, I don't remember how it came up, but I asked one of the guys there, I said, do you know anything about the NCAA tournament? He goes, no, what's that? So I'm explaining. And then one of the other guys, a guy I coached with, across the table, now he knew I was there, he knew what I do there and everything. He goes, well, Keith, now this is all in French, but it doesn't sound like it, does it? He says, Keith, now, if your team doesn't win tonight, are you going to preach hellfire and damnation tomorrow? Well, I wasn't going to preach the next day anyway. But I said, now I've got all of a sudden every eyes on you. This is one of those moments. You better be prepared because it's coming. Well, anyway, I told him, I said, well, no. As a matter of fact, you might be surprised at what I'd preach if I were preaching tomorrow. He said, what's that? I said, the kingdom of God and God's love for you. Well, that just set off a firestorm. I mean, everyone, and this happens a lot, believe me. These parents all around the table ask me 50 questions. You know, well, finally one guy was really interested. He was Catholic. Oh, by the way, don't believe it if you hear France is a Catholic country. It's not. Basically, it's agnostic. They don't believe anything. Okay? About less than 0.5% are evangelical Christians out of 60 million people. There's only 130 Baptist churches in all whole country. And most of those are 20 or less people. Okay? So anyway, I'm sitting there, and this one guy who is a Catholic says, well, do you know Vatican II? And I said, well, yeah. And his wife, no, I think before I said yeah, his wife says, mais non, il est protestant. And it's like, oh, that means, but no, he's a Protestant. How would he understand that? That's Catholic stuff. And I did know what Vatican II was. You know, you probably do somewhat. It's this thing that the Pope, they had this big council and they met. And so we got to talking about that stuff. But anyway, I was able to do what I did. I don't know that I did a very good job, but I did it because that's what we were there for, you know. I mean, that's what we were there to do with different people. Now, let me go on because I don't want to go crazy here. I could do that, but you won't let me. Okay, the next phrase is conduct yourselves with wisdom towards the people on the outside. And I love this one. Buy back the time. Buy back the time. So, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards the people on the outside and buy back the time. This is my most favorite part, and I don't have much time. So, on the mission field, you begin to see things in a whole new light. You begin to understand something that when you're away from it, you begin to see it. In other words, you work really hard to learn how to express yourself, how to express principles of God, how you express your life in Christ to other people on the outside that don't understand any of it. So you can't use church words, and you can't use things that we use here. You can't use, I hate to say this, but I'm going to anyway because I'm about to say even more about it, us and them talk. Can't do that. But once you get used to that and you come here, or if a group of Americans come there, that's what you hear, us and them, us and them, us and them, us and them. And I think that's a huge problem. And I like how this translates it, because in the NIV it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. Outsiders sounds different than saying it by the way the French says it. The ones, the people on the outside. Yeah, you could technically say it means the same thing, but no, it doesn't. Because you see, those people that are out there are the ones he's talking about. And that means don't treat them any differently. Don't think of them as them. It's us and them. Think of it as they're God's children. He loves them just as much as he loves you. So that really gets me fired up there. And then the other thing, and I'll try and quickly go through this, is the word here. You can see this in the French. I don't know if you can. It's see under the little five, the third line, that first word. Rachete. It's just like in English where you put return or re-begin or re-whatever, R-E. An R on the front of a word is the same thing in French for the most part. Acheté is to buy. Racheté is to buy back. Buy again. Okay? So that is really interesting to me because what he's telling us is really simple. He's saying, and we don't think of it this way. He's saying, think about it. What, in other words, if you just had an encounter, it didn't go so well or it went well, reflect on it, think on it, pray on it, because you're going to have other opportunities. So don't just let it go. Now, I'm the world's worst at this. Deborah's so hard on me. That little event I was telling you about with the baseball thing, I go home and, you know, we're always coming in saying, hey, guess what happened? This happened to me. And, and I'm telling her about that. And she says, well, did you say this? Why not? Or did you do that? No. You missed a golden opportunity there. You guys can imagine this one probably. But it's true. And so I don't do well at that. I don't spend time working on it because you know what? This is about work. Living our lives is about work. In the kingdom is about work. Working it out. Now, that doesn't matter. You know, there's no retirement from that. There's no time to stop being a believer, being a follower. You don't take a day off or a vacation. So we need to really do a better job of buying back the time. And like I said, I'm the world's worst at it. So the final phrase is that your word would always be always full of grace and seasoned from salt so that you know how it is necessary to answer each one. I'm going to just talk of seasoned with salt. Your words don't need to be flat. They need to have some spice to them. And one other thing. You know what? I bet if Brother Wallen and I went out and we were eating the same dish, one of us would put more salt on it than the other one. So don't think everybody likes as much salt as you or as little as you. Be smart. Size up what's going on so that you can salt it just right. Now each one is a real key. In French it says, it is necessary to respond. That last little line, it is necessary to respond to chacun. Chacun is real important. Each one, not everyone. Or now, the American Standard Version, I think, does a pretty good job there. Yeah, each person. But it's not everyone, it's each one. In other words, everybody's unique. Everyone is unique, and everyone deserves a response that's tailored to address their uniqueness. So this is not so simple. You know, I remember when I was here, we did Share Jesus Without Fear, and I don't remember what all we did. We did a bunch of those evangelism classes. They're good. Don't get me wrong. They're helpful because they give you models. But you can't just walk out of here and do one. You got to walk out of here and size up the situation. You got to walk out of here and share your life and your life in Christ with those people. And a lot of times, it's not just words. A lot of times, it's not even words. A lot of times, it's what you do. So, that's really quick, and I'm sorry I kind of dug in at places maybe I shouldn't have done it. But there's a part of this title in this in your bulletin that's not there. It's the so that. You know, I forgot to ask Chandler to do a picture of Clément, but that's okay. We'll show him another day. Can you do the picture of the team, Chandler? This is our team. At least there's some of them still there, but not many of them right now. This is our team in Paris. And our team has this thing we do all the time to one another. So that. So what's the so that? You mean, and what I mean by that is, okay, I heard that. Now how do I apply it to myself? And for what? So that. Okay. So what's the so that to all this stuff that Paul's trying to give us in this passage? And I'm going to just run through them quickly. I've got about five of them here that I got from it for myself, and I hope that you'll see or hear, or maybe you got some of these as well. Don't take prayer lightly. Focus on it. Pray for one another. It matters. Don't think us and them. Don't push people away. Think, reflect, and pray over your encounters so that you get better and better at sharing life in Christ. Don't treat everyone the same. Each person is unique with a unique set of circumstances. So what's your so that? And what will you do? You know, my hope and my prayer for you this morning is that you won't leave here and go to lunch and get done with lunch and never think about another war and any of this again. I've been there and done that. Time is too precious. Every minute counts. And I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that to me. Because I've been there for 10 years. I haven't seen much happen. Haven't seen many results. Matter of fact, there's only one woman that we've seen except Christ that we believe, that's really pretty much us. And I'd love to tell you about Sophie, but I don't have time. It's hard. But every second of it, every second of that 10 years mattered. So every second of today matters. Because what we do today sets up for tomorrow. And if there's something you want to make happen in the future, take steps today, because you will get there. But this is important. This is powerful. And I really wonder sometimes if the church would just grasp it, if we wouldn't see things happen like happened in the book of Acts. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Man, on the mission field, I ask it all the time. It's like, golly, how did they do that? How did that happen? How did, you know, over 3,000 people come to Christ at one time? Or so many people were added to the church daily, you know. And today, you know, we don't see that. And we're blaming it on them on the outside. I don't want to blame it on anybody. I just want to ask you to do what he's saying here. Pray for one another that you will be the witness that he wants you to be. And then things will change. Things will change. Wouldn't it be so wonderful to hear that something happened at this little church on Vine Street in Louisville, Kentucky? And you think it can't, or do you? I know it can. I know it can. You know, I know that in France one day there's going to be an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, and that there's going to be about 60 million little Pauls released on the world because the French are a lot like him. Very in your face, very arrogant, very strong. Thank you for letting me come, and may God bless you.